Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody here. Good to see your beautiful smiling faces and the joy that's in our hearts. We lift all that up in praise to God. Just thank Him every day that I can get out of bed and do what I have to do. Now today we're looking at God's powerful word from Acts chapter 4. And I'd like to ask you if you would to turn to Acts chapter 4 verse 4. And when you get to that place, I'd like to ask those that are able to please stand as we read from God's Word. Acts 4, 4. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today, Lord, we lift up before you our hearts. And what we've read from your word, let us plant that word in our hearts, dear God. Lord, we need to be the called. We are the called ones. You've given us a charge to take your word and to preach it to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, implant that in us today that we need to be out witnessing and telling people about Jesus. But Father, let us do it being led by the Holy Spirit, because when your Holy Spirit leads us, Father, we know that we will see results happen. And Father, today as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask everything in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what's happened here, Peter and John, they've been out preaching the word of the Lord. And Peter and John, as they're out preaching the word of the Lord, they're not, I want you to notice this, they're not doing it under their own power. They're not doing it by their authority. Peter and John have been led by God. The power of the Holy Spirit has been at work. And now what you're seeing here, what happened was, the people who are not of God, the people who oppose the work of the Lord being done, are basically, they're casting hatred toward Peter and John, and they're wanting this act stopped. Isn't it funny? When we're living for the Lord and when we're around people who don't believe, do you ever realize or notice how it makes them very uncomfortable? But the opposition that was being pushed against them, it couldn't be stopped. And we know that the devil has, since he's got kicked out of heaven, the devil has tried everything he could. Even from the birth of Jesus, he tried to stop it. He did not succeed. So Peter and John, they're out doing the work of ministry, and the devil is putting different opposing forces against them to try and stop them, but Peter and John basically are an unstoppable force. See, when we live our lives for the Lord Jesus, and when we are led by the Holy Spirit, then you and I become as well an unstoppable force. Even in the face of persecution, God's word continued to produce faith and salvation. Now, the word that was heard, there were many in verse 4 that says, who had heard the message and had believed. Faith begins with hearing God's message. Now, Romans 10:17, you know, says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we have to have faith, which means we have to believe. We have to know that what we're hearing from God's Word, it is truth, it is powerful, it is life-giving, it is life-changing, it will produce joy, it will produce powerful events to happen in the life of the believer. But if we don't have faith, then God's not able to do the work within our life that He's wanting to do. So we have to get our thoughts, we have to get our understandings, our feelings, and everything out of the way, And we have to open our heart to the Lord and say, Father, by faith, I trust your word and I receive what I'm reading. We have to stand on the word of God. And not only do we need to read it and hear it, but we have to believe every bit of God's word. So Peter and John, their faith was so great that what they're preaching, there is a multitude of people who were hearing it. Now, people know by our actions, they know by looking at you how much you believe what you preach. Do you realize that? Effie and I were actually having a conversation, I think about a month or so ago, and we were kind of talking about preachers who kind of preach, and they want people to believe what, I want to call it their ways and their philosophies. Well, I'm not one of those kind of preachers. I will preach to you the Word of God. That's why I've got my notes now on a tablet, but they're notes. That's my outline. But what I preach to you, I preach the Word of God, because this Word is truth. This word changed my life. This word still is changing lives today. This word has endured for many generations. It was this very word that pierced my heart and my life. So when I get up here and preach, I'm not going to preach to you my version of a watered-down gospel. By what I mean by that, I'm not going to put my thoughts and my philosophies and turn God's word around and preach it to you a whole different... I'm not doing that. But see, there are so many preachers today, and we have to be very careful who we listen to. We should know if we're living by the Spirit and we're led by the Spirit, we will know the truth when it is preached to us. And you will also know when a false word is being spoken to you. But anyway, we know Peter and John, they're preaching the message, and they were preaching the message with a boldness. And that is the charge that you and I have as Christians. Now, a lot of churches, they'll have a pastor, and a lot of churches say, well, that's all the pastor's work. No, it's not. The pastor's work to go and visit and to go out and share the gospel and witness to others. But do you know, as a congregation in the body of God, it's every single one of us, we are responsible. We are responsible for telling people about Jesus. Now, I remember a couple weekends ago, there's some Christian people got together, and they were walking, and I went. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get my run in this morning. And as I ran way up ahead and then come back, was waiting for them, there was, I can't remember what organization it was now that was up on the square, but I thought, you know what? I haven't been as forward as I should be about witnessing. And I've been praying, Lord, I want you to make me to where I witness more often. So I made sure that as I went around the square waiting for these other people to come up and have prayer, that I went to every person that I could and witnessed to them and asked them, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, I had people tell me yes, so at that, I have to take it, you know, and believe it. But there are so many people who have never heard the word of the Lord. They maybe have been to church, but listen here. People go to church, and the word of the Lord is preached, but a lot of people never hear it because they don't have their hearts open to it and they're not very receptive. And sadly, there are a lot of Christians today who are closed-minded about God's word and they don't want to really receive it. A lot of people, I like to say, they get their fire insurance. Well, they get saved. They get their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then they just kind of draw the line there, and that's where they stop. And that, to me, is a life that's just kind of mundane. But anyway, Peter and John, God had put their word, or God put His word inside of them, and they very courageously went forward into this area, and they're preaching the word to this great multitude. And we saw in Scripture that it said about 5,000 men were joined to the church that day. So, okay, and I want you to picture this. Now, that's what the word says. I don't know, but maybe there were a lot more people. But here's the thing. Peter and John, I guarantee you, prayed before they went and did the work of the Lord. They sought God, and they were led by the Holy Spirit. These were two men whose minds and hearts and lives were dependent on God. They didn't depend on anybody else around them. They didn't seek anybody else's counsel. They didn't come up with their own beliefs or their own transcripts. But whatever God put inside of their hearts, they went boldly and they were not afraid. And I want to encourage you with this today. As a Christian, you know why a lot of people don't witness? Because they're afraid of what others might say, or they're, here's the big one. A lot of people are afraid of rejection. A lot of Christians will never witness to their friends because they are afraid of being rejected by the old crowd they used to hang out with. Now, I used to hang out with a bunch of rowdy when I was young and dumb, and before I got saved, I hung out with a bunch of rowdy numbnuts, I'll call them, people that don't have a lot of common sense. I didn't have a lot of common sense back then for sure. But after I got saved, and over time, I started to run into these friends again, and they're like, hey, well, we're going to have to go hang out sometime. And I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know. Basically, I don't want to go back. So anyway, let me just kind of get here so I don't chase a rabbit around the tree. The people that I used to hang around with, I want them to know that I am a Christian. I want them to know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I would rather be rejected by people than to be rejected by God. That's my stance as a Christian. You can ask my wife. I'm not afraid to go up to any stranger and start talking to him, am I? She'll tell you that. Sometimes, I remember we'd go into Walmart and she'd say, let's take the back off so we don't see anybody you know or somebody you might. And I don't blame her because I'm guilty of it. I could stand there and talk for half an hour with people. Yeah, she's agreeing. So I could stand there and talk for hours to people. But anyway, I've had the most greatest times of my witnessing life happen when the Lord was dealing with me. When the Lord was, I was praying, Father, the mission field is out there. Send me. Put people in my path. And God would start showing me. I didn't have to ask, well, God, is this the one? God would start showing me. I want you to go minister to this one. I want you to share the love of Jesus with that one. And I'll tell you this, I have gotten to experience the joy of leading people to Christ. I've gotten the experience many times of being rejected, and I always walk away joyful because I know that the work of the Lord is done. And I could just probably see Peter and John as they're preaching the word of the Lord. I'm sure they're radiating. They were smiling. The joy of the Lord was upon their face. And this is what is drawing the people to them. The outside world is seeing the work of God in their lives, and it's basically drawing them to Peter and John, just like a moth to a flame. We sat outside the other night. We have one of those little propane gas fireplaces where the flame's about so high on a little ring, and it was a little chilly. We had that thing going the other night, and man, the bugs were just coming to it. And It made me think, if we would let Jesus shine in us, if we would let His love burn in us like that flame, could you imagine how many people would be drawn to us when they see the Lord at work in our life? And people will know you by your works, and they will know you by your character. Some things I want to ask you to apply to your life from this is, are we listening to God's Word? And are we faithfully sharing it with others? Are you listening to God's Word? And I don't mean just reading it and putting it down. I mean, are you reading, studying, feeding on it, and letting it take place and take root in your heart and letting it grow? And then are you being quiet before God and letting God speak to you about the words you have read? Are you letting God show you the fruitfulness that it could bring in your life? Are you letting it change your life? Because like I said, God's Word will definitely change you from what you once were to what you can be. If you will let God move in your life, if you'll get yourself out of the way, He will be able to do anything with you that you thought was probably impossible. I've told you many times, I never thought I'd be in a pulpit preaching. Now, my grandfather used to say, he'd say, Jimbo, you're going to be a pastor one day. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to be a cop like the rest of the family. I'm going to run the highways and pull people over and write them tickets. That was just my philosophy as a child. And other people in my family were going, well, you know what? You could be a preacher. Well, I went to church, but I wasn't a Christian. But it wasn't until I got saved and my life and my heart, my attitude got changed from what it used to be, that I started to see the things people were speaking into my life was actually the Lord basically giving a word through somebody else, and that word was manifested in my life. Now, I fought it for a long time, and I ran away, and I found out everywhere I ran, God was there. I'd go do something, try to get away from it, God followed me. And God stayed on me, and I was so miserable and so desperate, I finally got to the point, I said, Father, if you want me to preach, I will preach. I surrender, I will do it. And within 2 hours, Reverend David Hancock called me and said, can you preach for me tomorrow? This is on a Saturday now, Saturday evening. Can you preach for me tomorrow? I'm sick. His voice sounded terrible. He said, I can't hardly speak. I need you to preach. I said, I'll do it. Now that right there I knew was the Lord working in my life. Secondly, the Word was believed. And I want you to take that one word and I want you to just say it to yourself. Believed. God's Word was believed. It wasn't just heard, it was met with a response. See, when God's Word goes out in boldness and in power, it will receive a response. You will see things change. I have been with people who were literally going through some very tough times, and even there were times that I had been through in that was tough. But I'll tell you this, I've been with people and speaking the Word of the Lord to people, speaking the Scriptures to them and praying with them, there was a power that fell from heaven, and literally you could feel the environment you were in. You could feel the power of God's love just consuming our hearts and our minds and drawing us and picking us up from the place we were at, and just almost like we were being lifted up above the storm that we were in together. And I've seen people come into perfect peace after speaking the Lord or speaking the Word of God and praying with individuals. I've seen people come even to perfect peace, even in some of the most devastating circumstances. So as John and Peter are preaching the word of the Lord, and they're preaching it with such conviction, these people are hearing it. But here's the thing. When you're hearing the word of God, you have to open your heart to it. And that's what these people were doing. They're hearing about the love of the Lord. They're hearing about how His love can change a life, and how much joy He can really give. And these people who had never heard, and I want to say this, let me back up just a little. When you're speaking under the power of God, the words that are going forth, they are heard by the lost in a way they've never heard before. I want you to know that. So as they're preaching, the people are receiving because the Holy Spirit was working on people's hearts during this message that they were preaching. Basically, the field was being cultivated or being prepared. The seeds were being planted by Peter and John, and the Holy Spirit was already starting to work in the hearts and the lives. And I can guarantee you this. I remember when I heard about Jesus and when I heard about His love and His power, I thought, He could really do all that with me? He loves me that much? How could anybody love me with as terrible as I've been? But then as the Holy Spirit started to deal with my heart and the conviction was so strong, I was led to believe. And the only thing I could do was open my heart and open my life to Christ and invite Him in. So as the crowd is believing, a response is starting to happen. I could almost guarantee that there were people stepping forward saying, I want to give my heart to the Lord. I could only imagine the worship that was taking place there that day. It's how many of you have ever sat in a revival service and you've just seen people flood the pulpit or flood down to the altar to pray? We as a church need to get back to where God's Word is alive within our church house, within the heart and life of every believer. And we need to be the ones who are coming through the door, not by ourselves, but we should have somebody by the hand that we have invited, somebody that we have witnessed and ministered to, because when we have done that work, the Lord will take care of saving them. But the more people that you and I go after, we will see Bosque Dell Baptist Church filled up. And I believe that every seat in this church is going to be filled up. And I believe that every Sunday school room we have will be filled. But you know what that takes on our part? The work. You and I as a church body have to do the work. Now, if we're going to have Sunday school, if we're going to have these things happening, then we've got to have the space available, because if we're doing other things besides what God wants us to do, then we'll never ever grow. We'll never see people getting baptized. I remember back September and October, man, we had quite a few baptisms happen. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with what happened just last year, and it doesn't stop with what happened in the years to pass. These curtains on this baptistry should be open a lot more on Sundays. And it's not because of what the pastor is doing only. It's what the work of the entire church is doing together. Are you really believing? Are you really being motivated by what God wants to do inside of you? What He wants to do with the church? Now, there's a lot of people drive by here day after day. And I'm guilty of this. Oh, I'm so guilty of it. I would drive by some little church way out in the country, and I would say, Well, I bet they couldn't even grow. Who'd want to come to church way out here? I bet their services are kind of boring. I'm guilty of that, of being worldly. But you know what? God can take any church and He can make a church a powerhouse. He can make any church to grow. If He can take a little chapel church that sat out in the middle of nowhere outside of Raleigh, Illinois, where nobody knows that area. Now my friend Ron and his wife live in the old church. Now they made it their house. But let me tell you this. Seven people in that church, seven or nine people in that church, believed that God could do something great within their church body. They believed they could grow. What they did, they believed together, they came together in that agreement, and by the power of God, they prayed, they stuck together, they worshiped together, and they believed together. They had an increase of faith together, and now Little Chapel Church sits on Highway 34 just north out of Harrisburg, and it's one of the biggest buildings I've seen in Southern Illinois so far as a church. Now, I'm not saying Boscadale Baptist Church needs to go out and we need to, I'm not saying that, so don't think I'm trying to get us pointed toward a building fund or any. Now, if God wants us to do that, we'll do it. But it's not what I'm not saying that we should have a huge building outside somewhere. But if that's what God wants, we'll do it together. But that's what I mean. We have to believe it together. So are you personally believing the gospel? Are you completely trusting Christ for salvation? I want you to leave those two things with you for thought. Now, the word produced results. The number of the men was about 5,000. So what happened? God's word transformed lives. It took the worst of the worst and turned their life completely around. They heard a message that pierced their heart, and it changed their complete outlook on what they once had known. They were introduced to a brand new life, a brand new love, a brand new relationship. They had heard Peter and John preaching Jesus. And as their lives were transformed, people started to come forward, and the church added on about 5,000. I believe that this church right here, and I am not talking about Grand Avenue Baptist. I'm not talking about Myrdale Baptist. I'm talking about Boscadale Baptist Church. You know what has to happen here for us to grow? You know what has to happen? We have to get ourselves out of the way. And I want you to listen to this and take it very close to heart, because I believe this. We have to get our agenda out of the way. We have to get our plans out of the way. We have to get what we want out of the way, and we have to step aside, and we have to open our hearts to the Lord and say, Father, this is your church house. What do you want us to do here? It should never be what the pastor wants, what the pastor's vision is. As your pastor, my vision is what God wants for this church, not what I want, not what anybody else is wanting. So you know what? In order for us to grow, if there's things that need to be changed or gotten rid of, or things that's been done in the past that are still being done, We can't keep hanging on to what happened in the past or what used to be done in the past. We have to open ourselves to God and say, what is it, Lord, that you're wanting to show us? What is it that you're wanting us to do here at Boscadale? We're stepping aside, Lord, and we're going to let you work. That's what we have to do. And then you and I need to be like Peter and John. We've got to be a church. Now, we used to do a thing when I was a kid. We did this in church. Anybody ever done this? You lace your fingers and you would go, well, here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open it up and there's all the people. And of course, I was young going, what in the world? Well, you know what this shows? Do you know what that shows? Anybody want to take a guess? What this is showing? People that are intertwined together. People that are joined together. You know what this looks like? It looks like roots of a tree or grass. You ever tried to pull that tough grass that's got those roots? Oh, I know Janine and I have. She's pulled it more than I have. And man, I'm telling you what, that grass is pretty tough stuff now. Man, you pull that grass and the roots take a hold of something. That's what you and I need to have. We need to have roots. We need to have roots so deep in God that when the devil tries to come along and bring opposition or try to stop the growth of this church, we need to have roots deep enough that we're saying, we ain't going for this. We need to have roots deep enough that we say, we're sticking together, we're loving together, we're serving together. That's the only way things are going to happen. I want you to listen to this. God's power is not limited by opposition or circumstances. God's power is not limited to any other external source. It's not. God's power is the greatest thing, and God's power will always endure. God's power will always go on. The devil may try to make his ways look bigger than God's, and if we look at that and we make that little molehill a mountain, guess what? We're going to be defeated and we will never grow. But when we decide to say, Lord, you have your way in our church. You do what you want to within our church. You let your power take over our lives. You'll see God start to move in mighty ways. You'll see God's power happen. You know what Boscadale Baptist Church needs? Boscadale Baptist Church, we need to see a good old-fashioned revival. And here's what I want to say this. We have to get religion out of the way. And what I mean by that is anything that is outside of God's Word has got to be done away with. There are people who have come up with so many religions and they wrote bylaws, they wrote this, and that's what a lot of churches are living by. And boy, if you break a bylaw, man, they're going to kick you out and drown you in a river almost. We live by the Word of God. And we are not to live by religion. We are not living by Baptist religion. We should not live by a Pentecostal religion. We should not live by a Methodist religion. But we should live by every Word of God. And as it is applied to our life, you and I are Christian people. This is God's church house, and we should treat it as such. This is a place. Do you really realize how blessed and fortunate that we are that we get to come here every Sunday? It's not a social hour. And I want to say this, not judgmental or anything. This is not a place to come and gossip. This is not a place to come and put down others. It's not a place to catch up on what's going on outside of life. This is God's house. This is where God is worshipped and where God is served. And this is where God's message is preached. This is where we praise the Lord. And it's time that we as Christian people set aside ourselves and what we know. And we say, Lord, you come through that door and you just take over. You have your way. God still saves people today. Faithful preaching and witnessing can produce a harvest. And I'll say that again. Faithful preaching and witnessing can produce a harvest. And that's not just the pastor preaching. It's when you go share with others. When you do it faithfully, it will produce a harvest. I remember my grandfather, every Sunday after church, that man, we'd go to lunch, and then him and Granny would go visit together. They would go to the hospital. They would go to the nursing homes. They would go to the VA living center. They would go to people's homes, wherever it was. They didn't care about what that was on their agenda. And then I would watch Grandpa even go out and go witness to people in their homes. I would even watch him in the pulpit preaching from his heart. And he would sometimes literally weep in the pulpit. And I can't say that's where I get it from. I get it from my Father in heaven. When I preach what I believe, the firm conviction that I believe, I weep for joy. But it will produce a harvest. All the religious leaders tried to silence Peter and John, and it didn't happen. Instead of stopping the gospel, the persecution helped spread it, because after they were seized, the leaders were saying, "We want you to quit what you're doing. We don't like it." How many of you ever heard something like that? Oh, I have. I've been threatened before. But you know what? Shoot me. Whatever you're going to do, do it. Because you're not going to win. I've already got the victory. I'll go to heaven. So that's what Peter and John were saying. You can do whatever you want to do to us. We're not going to shut up. Because once you let us go, we're going to go start preaching again. So the don't let the opposition keep you silent. You'll rise up above the opposition, and you don't care what other people are saying, and you tell the devil where his place is. It's underneath your feet. And you say, "Lord, you send me out where I need to go. And Father, you let me preach to the ones that need to hear this message." Because as Peter and John went out and continue to preach this message to more and more people, I guarantee you more people were saved. So I want you to know this. Don't ever look at your church and say, "Well, because of the past, or because of who's here, or what we don't have, we just can't grow." That's malarkey. That is a bunch of B-U-L-L. God can do anything in any church, but we as the church have to resist the opposition of the enemy. Bosque Del Baptist Church has been here for many years. And you know what? I believe that until the rapture of the church, until Jesus comes back, I believe that Bosque Del Baptist Church will continue to be a lighthouse to a dark and dying world. And we need Bosque Del to grow. I want to do this real quick. You see that number board up there? That's great. Those have been a staple. That's like a staple of the past. But don't rely on that. Don't rely on that numbers up there. What we need to do is we need to say, "Father, I just need you to work in my life so that we can grow. We need this church to grow." But it's going to take determination. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take trust in God. And it's going to take letting God do what He wants. Because I'll tell you what, if we'll do that as a church together, we can never be stopped. The devil may try, but if it's just a few faithful folks, it will happen. So let me leave you with these last couple things. Don't be discouraged by resistance. you, as a Christian, remain faithful because you know that God is at work, and that's what you have to hang on to. Acts 4:4 teaches a simple but powerful truth. The word was heard. The word was believed. Lives were changed. And God's work continued despite opposition. So much for just a little verse. So, how about it, Christians? Do you want to see your church grow? Do you want to see your life blessed? Do you want to see God's hand at work? I hope the answer is yes. Because if anybody says no, I invite you to get to this altar and get your heart right with the Lord. Because if you're a Christian, then your heart should be saying, Lord, bring thus the ones we need to be brought here. Oh, what I was going to say, well, I kind of got off track. But about that number board, the church ain't about that number board. That's not what it's about. A lot of churches go by how many is on that number board and they're satisfied with it. That's wrong. A lot of people are satisfied by the amount of money. A lot of people aren't happy until their church is at a financial... That ain't it either. I heard a story of a pastor who came into a church, he came in as a new pastor, and the first thing... Now, I'm not going to do this, so don't get worried. But that pastor walked into the church, and he took those things down off the wall, and everybody threw a fit. This is a true story. And they was already mad at him. Well, what's the matter with you? He said, I have heard people complain about the amount of money we've got and the little number of people we got. He said, I took the boards down so you quit focusing on it. He said, I want you to focus your life on the Lord. And when you do that and forget about that, he said, you'll see the Lord start to move. And it was a little process, but as time went on, people forgot that those boards were even off the wall, and people started to witness, and the church started to grow. So I'm going to leave it at that.